Jerry Bader Show 1022. Before I move on the poverty issue, there's another story that I was going to dovetail in with the Green Bay police video story, and that's what the NYPD tried to do on Twitter. Did you hear about this, Jason? Another lesson in law enforcement agencies that don't understand the social media. They started this hashtag NYPD where you could post your pictures, you know, where you're being friendly with the NYPD. Well, guess what it was filled with? Pictures of alleged police brutality by NYPD. That, and by the way, this has happened to other companies and other entities, not understanding the negatives they have. They put something out there, well, talk nice about us. That's from the minute people could start commenting on the internet has brought out more negative comments than positive comments. It's just the way it's going to be. You give someone a forum and you're going to get more negativity than positive stuff. It just is. It's just human nature. All right, I left you with a tease 5 minutes ago where I said one of the greatest tools against poverty is Walmart. Now, that tease in and of itself probably had liberals listening just about stroking out. This is a piece by Christian Schneider writing in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I want to share this with you. Walmart, poverty fighter. When those on the left measure society's efforts in ameliorating poverty, they commonly speak in terms of what the government puts into the system. Liberal politicians speak of investment and commitment, tallying up the dollars taxpayers put toward any given problem. This isn't a terrible way to gauge the public's commitment to aiding those less fortunate, but it is certainly an inaccurate one. It's easy to identify what taxpayers are spending. It's much more difficult to discern what effects that aid actually produces. Further, using government spending as a gauge of how hard we're trying to virtually eliminate the private sector as a partner in helping the poor. In fact, there's one business that helps the poor in a way that rivals government at all levels. It is Walmart. Just saying such a thing raises the hackles of the left. Walmart, after all, is owned by a super wealthy, politically active family that squeezes every penny out of companies who provide goods to sell in their big box stores. The company allegedly pays its employees low wages, which allowed it to reap $17 billion in profits last year. Yet, Walmart continues to employ more than 1.4 million Americans. Not only is this more than 1% of the country's entire workforce, it has remained virtually recession-proof over the past few years. In many cases, the health care plan the company offers is better than plans offered under Obamacare for lower cost. This hasn't been enough to sate those on the left who complain that the wages at Walmart are too low. For years, Democrats have argued that Walmart's low pay forces the company's employees onto government-subsidized food stamps and health care programs. An unsuccessful Democrat-sponsored bill in the Wisconsin legislature this year would have added a fee to companies whose employees receive food stamp or medical assistance benefits. Recently, a new video from Slate argued that if Walmart increased its prices by only 1.4%, it could increase the average cashier pay from $8.81 to $13.63 an hour and thus eliminate the 15% of its employees who currently receive food stamps. By the way, Walmart claims its average pay is already nearly $13 an hour. Yet there are problems with this rosy scenario. First, the people who shop at Walmart aren't typically wealthy. The store's low prices benefit the poor most of all. It's not as though billionaires wearing monocles wander through Walmart looking for socks. Raising prices shifts the cost of higher pay for some to lower-income shoppers. Further, any price increase eats into Walmart's competitive advantage over similar stores. If prices were to rise, the store sales would inevitably dip, forcing it to take a hit not contemplated by the chain's critics. Additionally, as employees' incomes rise, their public benefits would be cut, and they may be forced to pay more for their benefits, which could offset the benefits of any pay hike. The fact that 1.4 million people willingly and happily work at Walmart is a testament to the fact that they're comfortable with the situation as it is. If a Walmart were to close, it's not like those employees who are being held back are going to move into careers remapping the human genome. Many of them won't get jobs at all. which means they'll go from being partially subsidized by the public to being fully subsidized. Further, those who complain about Walmart employees receiving government benefits are typically silent about the fact that Obamacare was set up to exacerbate such a problem by imposing new costs on businesses. According to University of Michigan researchers, more than 43 million American workers could lose access to employer-sponsored health care when businesses realize it's cheaper to boot their workers to the government-sponsored exchanges. This is believed to be a primary reason why President Obama delayed the business mandate within the ACA. Government wasn't ready to accept the huge load of workers being forced onto government care. Yeah, if you complain that Walmart already has people who are subsidized by the government, that's the whole point, really, when it comes down to it, of Obamacare. When all is said and done, Walmart is a company that employs poor people and allows those under the poverty line to purchase goods they might not otherwise be able to afford. The goods sold at its stores create billions of dollars in tax revenues to help those needing government assistance. It's an uncomfortable fact, but Walmart itself may be the nation's most effective anti-poverty program currently in effect. Powerful piece by Christian Schneider. Anyone on the left listening to that is going to absolutely freak out. By the way, that all of that would be in play if Walmart were to get the downtown Green Bay store that they want, that Mayor Jim Schmidt is leading the charge in opposing. And they are asking for no government assistance in building that store. It's 10:29. It's 10:29. Time to check in with producer Jason and how he's doing on Proactive Weight Loss Solutions. So, what's the count as of today?
Still 16. I'm stuck.
You're stuck, and that happens. And I know Dr. Littman's working with you.
Yep.
I had my first uptick on the scale ever in the whole time I've been on the program, and quite frankly, I think something just, well, one, the scale read like six different things every time so I'm not going to worry about that. It did.
Might be the scale.
These things happen. It may be this. It's a brand new scale, digital.
It doesn't matter. It does.
Oh, that's why you have to go for those weekly weigh-ins. Even though I'm on maintenance, I still like to get on their scale. I'm not on a program per se, as you now are.
Right.
But the other thing that we want to mention, we've talked a lot about doctor supervised. Now, for months now, folks in the Sheboygan and Wausau areas have been hearing about Proactive Weight Loss Solutions, and they may have been wondering, Jerry and Jason live in the Green Bay area, and that works for them. Oh, contraire, mon frere. That's where with email and telephone, Dr. Litwin can make this program work. He is in the Fox Valley, but if you're listening in Sheboygan, you're listening in Wausau, he's already taken a number of calls and new patients from there, those areas. So if that's stopping you, don't.
Oh, don't let that stop you.
No, don't let that stop you. Wherever you may be listening, this can work out for you. If you'll call Dr. Jason Litwin at
920-268-1386, 920-268-1386.
The Jerry Bader Show.